to everyone. We really do appreciate you being here this morning. We're going to go ahead and get started with a couple of readings. The first one is our scripture reading, and it comes from Genesis chapter 1, so from the first creation story. And I'll be reading verses 20 through 27 and verse 31, and this is all from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition. Hear now these words. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So, God created great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in God's image. In the image of God, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God saw everything that had been made, and indeed, it was very good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Maybe I have blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. I also want to share a brief quote with you from climate activist Greta Thunberg from her book, "No One Is Too Small to Make a Difference." In it she says, "We must change almost everything in our current societies. The bigger your carbon footprint, the bigger your moral duty. The bigger your platform, the bigger your responsibility. Adults keep saying, 'We owe it to the young people to give them hope.' But I don't want your hope. I want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day. And then, I want you to act. I want you to act as you would in a crisis. I want you to act as if our house is on fire, because it is."
This song is by a really cool band named Lake Street Dive.
Counting up the new tide, boots, bigger than kilowatts. How will
to see your phone. Slowing down, few and far between. Everything's true, it seems like we forgot. I'd have long to fly. What do I say to my baby girl? Loving her with that whole world that we could have done a lot. I'd have strong to die. If she wants what she can't be found, and she can't blame anyone, because it's her mother's fault. And we'll make it through with a new thought. We've got to make it through the sky more than ever. And you don't even know what we've lost.
Christianity.org, and I shared with you a little over a month ago that we're launching a project called Take Back Christianity, where we address several of the hot-button topics of this presidential election year, and I shared with you some of the resources at that time about LGBTQ plus community and Christianity. We now have the website up and running, at least the beginning of it, so if you want to check that out, it's called TakeBackChristianity.org. And I'm going to share with you today another part of our resources that I was part of making and have added to, and a message entitled Christianity and Climate Change. Thought it would be particularly appropriate after our past week. The headline on local news channel WFMY's website read, 78-year-old Rockingham County woman dies after tree falls on home during tropical storm day. Again, that's Rockingham County, our neighbors just to the north. So close that it could have happened here. It happened in Brown Summit, so basically it did. The article said the woman's daughter said she spoke to her mom Wednesday night but was worried about her during Thursday's storm. A Rockingham County woman, it says, was pronounced dead at her home on Clearwater Lane on Thursday night following a long day of heavy winds and tropical storm Debbie. Williamsburg Fire Department officials who responded to the scene said an oak tree fell on the woman's mobile home while she was in the bathroom, killing her. The victim was identified as 78-year-old Hilda Windsor Jones. Deputy said she lived alone. The article concludes saying this is the second death connected to Tropical Storm Debbie in North Carolina. There were 8 total deaths. Someone else in North Carolina died when a tornado ripped through their home in Wilson County, east of Raleigh, on Thursday morning. You may have noticed that even our tropical storms are becoming stronger and more deadly. Global climate change is no joke, and humanity has a great deal of responsibility in causing it. And it only makes sense, then, that humanity would have a great deal to do with doing something about it. The thing is, there are lots of folks who don't agree with that. If anything, they practically think the opposite of it. They're the ones who cheer when politicians say, drill, baby, drill. Worse yet, many of them use Christianity to support their point of view. And we'll look very briefly at their out-of-touch religious thinking when it comes to the care of the earth. But first, let's talk a bit about what the Bible actually says about humanity's responsibility when it comes to creation. as we heard a bit of in our scripture reading for today, biblically, Christianity says that throughout the first creation story in Genesis, God looks over each thing and declares it good. And then humans, created last, were given stewardship over the good world and the generations to come. Now, interestingly enough, even though climate change science clearly isn't based on Christianity, what it says is needed from us actually offers the kind of Christian dominion the Bible teaches us and Jesus saw. Climate change threatens our very existence and asks us to change our ways. It is something so dire and so scary that it's easier to almost not think about it or deny that it even exists, but those choices don't make it go away. Christianity is clear. Christianity is clear on our responsibility to the earth, and fortunately, major Christian organizations and leaders agree. There's the, believe it or not, the National Association of Evangelicals. They have a biblical call to address climate change. The National Council of Churches have a doctrine of stewardship for the earth, and even the Vatican's care for creation points to our responsibility. Jesus even tied himself to the sacredness of the earth, saying, "Consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air." Not only that, his many agrarian parables about how we treat farming and food and vines and birds and more, well, those tell us we can look at how God cares for nature for guidance on how we ought to live our lives. The PCUSA, of whom we're a member, is currently engaged in a movement called Matthew 25. And in Matthew 25, Jesus identifies providing basic needs to the vulnerable as an act of faith when he says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink." With climate change, those most basic needs, food and safe water, are threatened. And as is so often the case, the vulnerable are disproportionately impacted. You see, when it comes to those who live near the industries that spew pollution into our atmosphere, family farmers who can't withstand the increased flooding and drought, the homes destroyed by worsening weather disasters, Jesus couldn't be more clear. As Matthew 25 reminds us, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these, what you didn't do for them, you didn't do for me." For Christians, it should be clear that we have a biblical call to act on doing something about climate change. But as I said earlier, there are those Christians who think otherwise. They believe that because God granted humans dominion over the earth in Genesis, we can do whatever we want. In fact, Christian dominionists believe that by destroying the earth, they will hasten the return of Jesus. According to them, the end of times make it pointless to worry about the climate crisis. It's all, in their minds, part of God's plan. Of course, the reality is that extremist Christian propaganda is harmful to all of us. Biblically, we are called to delight in wisdom. And science is one of the leading forms of wisdom in our modern world. We humans have the capacity to be scientists and inventors and responsible consumers. We can replace old and destructive technologies with new technologies that also build economies and create new jobs as they help address climate change. But as our old technologies lose favor to solar, wind, electrical vehicles, and more, that's a massive threat to the giant greenhouse gas generators like coal and oil and factory farmed animals. Unfortunately, this theology of destructive dominion becomes a political lifeline for those kinds of industries. But the reality is that constructing supposed biblical perspectives just to support certain industries, particularly industries in decline, is a gross misuse of biblical texts. We're all seeing the reality of record-breaking heat, drought, floods, wildfires and hurricanes, polar ice caps and glaciers melting at record speed, ocean levels rising and lakes drying up, as well as increased deaths related directly to the climate events. This climate crisis will lead to other environmental threats as well that will speed up climate change even faster, like the deforestation and more deserts. When food and water and energy become scarce, consumer prices will spike. But far worse, military experts warn us that instability, terrorism, and war become more likely in those cases because, especially in the Middle East, climate change is increasing fast. It's all very real and very scary. And now in the U.S., we've made some really great stewardship decisions, like establishing the national parks, but we've also done a lot of harm because of it, and because of it, we face the biggest harm of all. Christianity calls us to care for creation, not to dominate it into extinction. The reality is, in addition to the everyday choices about how we conduct our lives, institutional and individual Christians, consumers, have a moral call to respond to the power of his person and respond to the way that can affect climate change. We can be instrumental in influencing Americans and the world community to push for policies that address climate crisis. Reducing the harmful gases that cause climate change is an example of making a good difference in God's good creation. Unlike extremist Christians would have us believe, science is not a threat to faith. Quite the opposite, actually. Science compels us to reconsider and re-engage with the wisdom of our sacred story. When we embrace the wisdom of science, we learn how to better live into our call to be caregivers for the earth. Some in the church distort modern science by conjuring up untruths to try to control vulnerable Christians. That motivation is too often religion wrapped in politics of greed and politics of profit. And frankly, that is a threat to our faith. That is the opposite of wisdom. That is something that those of us who care about our faith should never let stand. Let us never forget we are told wisdom is that in which God delights daily, and when we practice it, God delights in us daily. Wisdom tells us we love God by loving God's good creation. Failing this love is causing the little children of the planet to stumble and to be unable to thrive as God intends. And yes, caring for creation means embracing science. Caring for creation also means our actions matter. From reduced red meat consumption, curbing our throwaway culture, driving less when we can, and voting for leaders who commit to curbing climate change. I'm going to conclude much the same way I did the last time we talked about climate change. Some people may tell you that there is no plan B if we destroy planet Earth. I am here to tell you We are plan B. As Christians caring for creation and for each other, we can commit to live into this call more boldly, that we might stop our destruction and play a part in creating heaven here on earth. And not only can we commit, but for the good of the planet and for the future generations whom we are called to care for, we must commit to do everything we can to respond to and to begin to reverse the impacts of climate change. For the love of God's creation, we must.
Serve the ground for any.
So I wanted to share with you a prayer for our earth from Pope Francis. Now, of course, that means that the language is going to be a little more high churchy than we are used to here. But I think the message is important, and I wanted to share it with you. So let's bow our heads. All-powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of your creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour out upon us the power of your love, that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace, that we may live as brothers and sisters, harming no one. O God of the poor, help us to rescue the abandoned and forgotten of this earth, so precious in your eyes. Bring healing to our lives, that we may protect the world and not prey upon it, that we may sow beauty, not pollution and destruction. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth. Teach us to discover the worth of each thing, to be filled with awe and contemplation, to recognize that we are profoundly united with every creature, as we journey towards your infinite light. We thank you for being with us each day. Encourage us, we pray, in our struggle for justice, love, and peace. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk with each other in harmony, recognizing that we are one with creation. May you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and actions share that love and happiness with all of those.